Recording started. All participant lines have been muted. Press #6 to unmute your line.
Good morning and welcome to our Sunday Soul Connection on this slightly drizzly March morning. As always, we like to set our time and our intention together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be. Taking the next 45 minutes or so out of the 1,440 that is given to us this day. To take this time to, as our opening song states, to just let it be. We're not concerned with the Sunday lunch and the weekday ahead. We're simply coming into the presence of the divine omniscience and omnipotence that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. We're taking this time to consciously deepen down in our awareness of who we are and whose we are. This is a time that we are not coming together to try and appease God to get something from him or her. This is a time when we are coming together to feed our soul and nurture and nourish our spirit. Always, always I like to remind you that there is no one that can do this work for us. We have to do it for ourselves. And the work that I'm referring to is the work in growing and expanding in consciousness. To recognize just how powerful we are as the divine sentient beings created in the image and likeness of that infinite intelligence, that all-knowing, all-loving presence, some call God, some call Jehovah, some call Krishna, others call Yahweh. And for all the other names that they exist that we human beings have constructed to try and identify that intelligence, we simply refer to it as the divine beloved. That is beyond any labels or names we can conceive of to try and confine it to. So the purpose here on the Sunday Soul Connection is one of our continued unfoldment and growth and expansion into the awareness of who we truly are at the core of our being. And when we can understand who we are at our essence, we can live from that place of love. We can live from that place of acceptance. We can live from a place of truth and integrity. If we are living from that level of connection to an acceptance of our divine nature, what incredible human beings we will be. And I believe that whilst we are still in physical form, we will be continuously given the opportunity to work and develop ourselves. I think whilst we're here in this organic body, there are very few that can ever consider themselves to be enlightened. There may be a few egotistical people out there thinking they're enlightened, but I think enlightenment is a continuous unfolding and revelation of who we are at our core. And so today's theme for our Sunday Soul Connection is make up your own mind. I met a few years back, 2012, yes, a wonderful man from the Science of Mind organization called Dr. Ken Gordon. And he writes in the monthly magazine that I read. And as I was reading his page, it struck me. And I wanted to share with you what I read that so struck me. He said, if I want to expand my horizons, then some research and work and private contemplation is required. It takes effort to know something new. It takes openness and open yourself to new ideas and to invite new ideas into your mind. If you want to expand your horizons, if you want to get a new vista, a newer way of seeing something, of understanding something, you have to really dig down deep, think on it, reflect on it, even do some physical research on it. Because it's very easy in this day and age to form an opinion that may have no basis in any factual reality. And I'm sharing this from example. Because as you know, I'm doing my degree and I submitted 8 or 9 pages of a homework assignment to my supervisor, who happens to be my dear friend Jose. And the last page, he wrote, these last 6 paragraphs are sloppy. The word sloppy was like a slap in my face. Not from an egotistical sense of how dare he, but simply from I never have heard or used those words associated with myself. I strive for a level of professionalism. So to hear my beloved supervisor saying they were sloppy made me go and reread and do the research. And having done the research now, because what I had written was simply an opinion, having done the research, I found that the research did not support my opinion. And I was grateful because I was able now to reflect, to rewrite, and have the research to back up my new formed opinion. And this is what's happening, I'm recognizing, because we have so much access to social media. We see something, somebody reposts it, and we accept that it's true. We think that it's valid. And so now, I found myself caught out with this again. I keep striving, even now when I post, to double-check my facts. Because I, too, have been caught up in reposting what actually is essentially fake news. And there was something that I posted this week gone, and it was a wonderful, or so I thought at the time, article about how 2 Wall Street investors had commissioned a beautiful bronze sculpture of a little girl, which stood in front of this rather large raging bull, which is synonymous and it's there in Wall Street, and they positioned this little girl as if she was fearless. And they did it for International Women's Day to say that across the industry, across Wall Street, there should be more women in the workplace. And on the surface, that looked wonderful. How amazing that they would do something. And then a few days later, I read another article which said, to the effect that all is not as it seems. There actually is a plaque down the bottom, highlighting and saying who it was, the two big Wall Street firms that had put this plaque there. And whilst they were figuring and advocating more women in the workplace, the percentages of women that they actually employed was relatively low. Not only that, they had been convicted of various crimes where they'd robbed people of their pensions and so on and so forth. And it really was just a kind of a media way of just drumming up more recognition. And it's always things are not what they're seeing. So the invitation today is to make up your own mind about things. Don't just accept something because you've heard it or read it. I love what the Buddha said, because he said, don't believe anything just because you've heard me say it or you've read it somewhere, but sit, take it into your heart. Sit with it and feel if it seems right for you. And this is the thing. We nowadays have access to so much information. We are lazy to check the facts. There, long ago, we accepted what was written because there was no way of validating it. There was no way of discerning whether this thing was true. And I saw a wonderful, even though it was traumatic, film yesterday, The Viceroy's House. And then Oakland Life says, history is written by the victors. We have a very warped view of how and what history looks like, because it is written by those who are in power. And so the truth of things often gets submerged or buried or distorted beyond recognition. And I certainly would recommend people to go and see it, because it is truly an eye-opener and one that touched me and troubled me very deeply. And so we're continuing in the season of non-violence. The season of the 64 days between the assassinations of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Two incredible people who wanted to see fairness for their people, who wanted equality for their people, who came about it from a place of peace and love. And the 64 days of the season of violence is a challenge to each and every one of us as to how do we embrace these various principles so that we can show up nonviolently in our lives, in our interactions with people, in our communities, in how we show up in the world. Every year, and we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, I doubt that I have succeeded the whole 64 days without losing it at some point. And whilst today is day 42, I'm moderately, and I use the word very lightly, moderately trusting that I will make it this year. There have been almost, but I have managed to hold myself. And so today's principle and word is accountability. Mulia says, it is not what we do, but also what we do not do, for which we are accountable. Accountability is such a wonderful thing, because it gives us an opportunity to grow, to acknowledge our mistakes. If we do not acknowledge our mistakes and continue to make them, the first time we can say, well, that was accidental, that was a mistake, but the second time, that's a choice, because we know that it's wrong. If we do not remain accountable for the things that we do, as Mulia says, or don't do, or say, or don't say, if we don't take accountability and responsibility for that, our lives will continue to unfold, where we will start to create a narrative and a dialogue that we are a victim. Accountability means we can acknowledge and accept when we are wrong, when we have made an error of judgment, when we have made a mistake. To hold ourselves accountable is a great principle in growing and expanding and evolving. March the 13th, tomorrow, is uniqueness. Sonia Parker says, stop comparing yourself to other people. You're supposed to be unique. I love the word unique. I think if you know me well enough, you know that I would consider myself unique. From the way I dress to the way my house is and everything about me. Because I love the Oscar Wilde quote who said, God did not create you as a copy. So why would we want to be like everybody else? Why would we not want to step out and be us, the unique, original, individual version of ourselves? We don't need to be a second-rate version of someone else. We spend too much of our time, I think, trying to please people. First our parents and teachers, and then our friends and husbands and partners. It's time for us to be our unique selves. And it's never too late to begin to own that individual expression that is you and not be concerned how the world will receive it or what they might say. Just be you. Tuesday is March 14th is cooperation. David Cunliffe says, let go of all spiritual beliefs that separate you from your fellow beings. Love and cooperation is the only way. Love and cooperation is the only way for a spiritual path. We are here to get along with one another, to cooperate. There are some people who are so entrenched in their viewpoint that they will cut their nose to spite their face rather than cooperate and be helpful. Sadly, those people are stunting their own blessings. Love and cooperation is the key. So as we go forth in this week, see how much you can cooperate with others. Wednesday is self-mastery. Someone said mastery is the path of patient, dedicated effort without attachment to immediate results. The path of patient, dedicated effort and detaching from the immediate results. That's a great definition. And if one that if we could embody, our lives would be less stressful. Because often we have an attachment to how we think something should be or how it should look or how someone should respond or react to something that we did. And if we can cultivate a non-attachment to how we think that should be, that would be very liberating. It would be very freeing. But that takes patience to cultivate that. And self-mastery is about patience, amongst other things. Self-mastery is taking control of your thoughts and your feelings and your actions and reactions. Being patient with how things are. I have loved two phrases that I embody and apply when I see things aren't quite going as I would like it. I shared with it before. The first one is, it is what it is. That liberates and frees me from the concern of how things are, what's going on, and who's not doing, and who said, and it is what it is. Those few words stops me in the flow of getting into a dialogue in my head about how I think something is supposed to turn out. The other one is yes to it all. Yes to everything that comes. Stop resisting, stop fighting, just say yes to it all. And that for me is my two words for that, or two phrases that I cultivate for my development of my self-mastery. And you can find something else to develop for yours. But be patient with it, because it takes time. You didn't get where you were overnight. So to undo some of the things and the ways of being that you are, it's going to take time too. Thursday is Compassion, March the 16th. Ram Dass, a wonderful Buddhist teacher, says, I would like my life to be a statement of love and compassion. And where it isn't, that's where my work lies. You see, when we see the error in our way of being and showing up in the world, when we see that we're falling down, that is a flag highlighting where we need to come and do the work. That's a really showing up for us. This is the place where we need to give extra energy and attention. And for him, he said, if he's not showing up with more love and compassion, that's where he needs to do more work. For you, it might be something else. But if we are to have compassion for one another in this world, it's not a recognition of, thank God it isn't me, but it's a recognition of, what can I do? How can I help alleviate that pain, that suffering, that hurt, that distress, whatever it is? So, in this week ahead, see where else you can be compassionate to. And don't forget to include yourself, because so often we lack compassion to ourselves. Friday, March the 17th, is disarmament. The Dalai Lama says, inner disarmament, external disarmament, these must go together. You see, peace is not just mere absence of violence. Genuine peace must start in each individual heart. I love that. Because we think of, when we talk about disarmament, is about, let's sign the petitions and let them diminish the levels of nuclear missiles and gun manufacturing. And that's only one part. That's the external. But imagine the internal disarmament. Think about all the times you are violent towards yourself, in your thoughts, in your words, in your beliefs. Peace isn't just found outside with the absence of violence in these material things of guns and bombs and all of that. But there's the disarmament of the internal violence that we often do upon ourselves, and we do it as if it's second nature. This is where genuine peace must start, in the individual heart, the Dalai Lama says. And I concur. And Saturday, March the 18th, is ecology. Fritjoy Capra says, ecology and spirituality are fundamentally connected, because deep ecological awareness ultimately is spiritual awareness. I'm trying to remember Chief Elk, I think it was his name, who said that we weren't merely a strand in the web of life, but we weren't the web of life, but we were a strand in the web of life. That's it. And that web of life connects to this earth and all the other sentient beings upon it. And so true spirituality recognizes the oneness with everything that is created. And so if we are to honor and be spiritual people, we do need to recognize in our ecological awareness and understanding that we are one with it all. One with it all. And so there are some wonderful principles for this week ahead, which you can find on the Sunday Soul Connection website. Also, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, as I'm daily posting just different quotes and writings in support of this. So as always, we like to share science and mind reading and a story. It was International Women's Day on Wednesday, and this whole of March is Women's History Month. I was on the search engine, and I hit the Google bar, because as you know, Google always celebrates something that's happening in the world, and it had a really interesting Google design, and I hit it to see what was it about, and up came these little cartoon figures, and then as I hit the cartoon figures, it actually were cartoon figures of various women across the 20th, 21st, and I think even the 19th century, and what they had contributed that perhaps we were unaware of. And I'll be sharing with you some of them over the weeks. But the one I want to share with you today is about Hedy Lamarr. She was an actress in the 50s. I remember seeing her in films, and she was a good actress, but didn't think anything more of it. But I think few of us knew that she actually she was a great inventor. And so the article says, although better known for her silver screen exploits, Austrian actress Hedy Lamarr, born Hedwig Eva Maria Keisler, also became a pioneer in the field of wireless communications. Following her emigration to the United States, the international beauty icon, along with co-inventor George Antheil, developed a secret communication system to help combat the Nazis in World War II by manipulating radio frequencies at irregular intervals between transmissions and receptions. The invention formed an unbreakable code to prevent classified messages from being intercepted by enemy personnel. Lamarr and Antheil received a patent in 1941, but the enormous significance of their invention was not realized until decades later. It was first implemented on naval ships during the Cuban Missile Crisis and subsequently emerged in numerous military applications. But most importantly, the spread spectrum technology that Lamarr helped to invent would galvanize the digital communications boom, forming the technical backbone that makes cellular phones, fax machines, and other wireless operations possible. As is the case with many of the famous women inventors, Lamarr received very little recognition of her innovative talent at the time. But recently, she has been showered with praise for her groundbreaking invention. In 1997, she and George Antheil were honored with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF Pioneer Award. And later that same year, Lamarr became the first female recipient of the BOPI, NAS Spirit of Achievement Award, a prestigious lifetime accomplishment prize for inventors that is dubbed the Oscars of inventing, proving she was much more than just a pretty face. Lamarr shattered stereotypes and earned a place among the 20th century's most important women inventors. She was truly a visionary whose technological acumen was far ahead of its time. Imagine our opinion of Hedy Lamarr was that she was just a fabulous actress, not knowing that she was an amazing inventor. We have to make up our own minds and find out our own information before forming our opinions. So my science and mind reading comes today and is entitled Best Thought Forward. The first quote comes from Norman Vincent Peale, who says, our happiness depends on the habit of mind we cultivate. Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind, page 50, who says, when we think, something happens to thought. The author writes, a life-enhancing practice is to pay attention to your habitual thoughts, many of which may seem to arise randomly without being consciously chosen. Your mind is almost ceaselessly busy thinking. Becoming aware of what you are thinking matters, because what you think matters. Thoughts are things. It is a disciplined mind that results in a greater peace, happiness, and well-being than does the mind that is allowed to be reactive and unguided. You can train your mind towards patterns of thinking that uplift and expand your life experience. You do so by becoming a witness to your thoughts. When you notice a tendency to dwell on problems or on seeming lack or limitation, you can simply change your thoughts to conform to the harmonious and fulfilling experience or outcome you desire. Unconscious negative thinking tends to occur when you have become tired, stressed, or out of touch with your spiritual essence. If you observe a sense of disconnection, a useful practice to support you in putting your best thought forward is to take a few moments each hour to turn within and re-establish your conscious contact with the deep self, silently affirming your divine nature. Spirit within you is always present and available to guide you gently back to your thought patterns that are aligned with truth. By turning your focus to such eternal verities as harmony, order, peace, love, and beauty, you attract conditions that reflect these qualities. You live your best life through your best thinking. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes. As we go within, as we drop down into our sanctuary in the cave of the heart, and always we bring our attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. At this time, I love to share the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out." Inhale. "This is my breath as I breathe in." Exhale. "This is my breath as I breathe out." In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out slower." Inhale. "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." My breath as I breathe out slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Deeper. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. As you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. You breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in accountability. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out self-mastery. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in accountability. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out self-mastery. Accountability. Self-mastery. Accountability. Self-mastery. Accountability. Self-mastery. Accountability. Of our hearts. We take a moment to set the intention for our week ahead. We see in our mind's eye that which we wish to be, do, have, or experience. And as we see it, we feel it. We bring the feeling component, the mental equivalent of what it is that we are seeing, feeling, and wanting for ourselves. So see yourself healthy and energized, however that may look for you. And realize the accompanying feeling that goes with that. See your relationships being very personable, harmonious, for yourself, whatever it is, whatever else you may want for this week ahead. Be intentional. As we enter into our circle of prayer, as always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of a prayer at this time. For we know that there is nowhere where the divine spirit of life is not. God, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. It is written that it is in God that we live and move and have our being. So as we consciously come into the awareness and presence that we are one with that which is both inner and outer, we know that every thought we're having is a prayer, because we are one in the mind of God. Divine beloved, infinite creator, source of all that is, as we consciously come into your presence once more, we hold in our hearts all those that are in need of prayer, all those that have requested prayer for healing. We know that right where they are, your presence is the deathless self-existence that resides in every cell, tissue, and particle of their being. So we speak this word for their healing and their recovery right here, right now. We know that there is nothing too hard for the Lord God to do. For we are made in your image and likeness, and that image and likeness is health, wholeness, and perfection. So we speak this word for them now. We ask that you guide the hands of the doctors and nurses and all those in the caring professions, that they may do their utmost in the work that they are there to do. We hold in our hearts at this time all those who are grieving loss of loved ones who have transitioned homeward back to you. For to be absent in the body is to be present in the spirit. Whilst we know that love is eternal, the heart still grieves. And so may the angels comfort them in their time of sorrow. As we embrace the principles in this season of nonviolence, to be more accountable, to honor our uniqueness, to cooperate, to work on self-mastery, to be compassionate, to disarm from internal as well as external violence, and to recognize in our ecology a oneness with everything. This oneness with the planet and all its sentient beings. May we respect this earth, this beautiful earth that supports us and its waters and its air. May we respect and honor those that swim through the seas, the finned, those that fly through the air, the winged, and those that creep and crawl upon the land. May we remember that the earth is yours and all that is in it. May you touch our hearts, our minds, that we will continue to be open vessels for your love to flow in and through and out of. That we truly are lights in this world. We give thanks for the abundance and all that you are blessing us with and continue to bless us with. So for your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones and we do our morning's affirmations and Buddhist meditations.
All participant lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
Our first affirmation comes from our Science of Mind reading and is entitled, I keep my thoughts aligned with truth.
I keep my thoughts aligned with truth.
My Buddhist meditations now. I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly. In thought, word, or deed. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Now our prayer of protection, the light of God surrounds me.
The light of God surrounds me.
The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. And so, my beloved, as we come to the end of our Sunday Soul Connection, as it's St. Patrick's Day on Friday, my closing benediction would be an excerpt from St. Patrick's breastplate. But you're welcome to join me on... Actually, no. There will be no 10 at 10 this Thursday. So you will join me again next Sunday for Rev. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. I arise today to the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me, from snares of devils, from temptation of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and near. And so I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day on Friday. Please continue with the season of nonviolence, and I look forward to being with you once more on Sunday. So my closing song is from a wonderful new artist I've just come across called Noel Gordon. The song is entitled Brand New. I've chosen it because I felt I just love the song, to be honest. But I felt that it's a real opportunity as we progress down in the season of nonviolence to show up brand new each day. So here's Noel Gordon with Brand New. Enjoy. You love that as much as I do. That's no good and brand new. May you wake up every day feeling brand new. God bless. Look forward to joining you next Sunday for our Sunday Soul Connection.
Thank you. Thank you.